alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for a CD, MP3, or written transcript of today's program, Greg Grandin on Kissingerism, call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Beth Ann Austin recorded the program. Shauna Sprouls voiced the questions. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for tuning into KBOO Portland. With a reminder that we have a matching membership for your generous support this morning, if you go to kbu.fm, you can get your donation matched today. That would be great. Coming right up, it's Chris Andre with Air Cascadia. Chris's guest today is Reverend Graylin Hagler, a leader in the BDS movement supporting Palestinian statehood. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints. Alternate writer Zaid Jilani is a guest, and several others. At 11 o'clock, on stage and studio, D'Mae Roberts speaks with actor Beth Thompson and actor Kai Tamizawa, who is a seventh grader who is in acting as Junie B. Jones at Oregon Children's Theater. 11:30, we've got Arc Focus. Today, Joseph Gallivan interviews Sarah Krajewski and Betsy Conop of the Portland Art Museum. And for now, let's get right to Air Cascadia. Thanks for tuning in today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, November 10th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. I just want to remind listeners that the Trans-Pacific Partnership is in its 90-day period of debate. And then, needless to say, is very, very doubtful that legislators will read all 6,000 pages. It's all there, and it is available to legislators. But whether they read it or not, we labor, the environment, and social justice are in big trouble if the Trans-Pacific Partnership passes. We have our guest today. We are honored to welcome Reverend Graylin Hagler of the Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ in Washington, D.C., a leader of the Boycott, Divest, Sanction movement supporting Palestinian statehood and opposing what can only be described as genocide is taking place. It's a captive civilian population, and it is being decimated by state-of-the-art Israeli military forces. I want to just briefly hit on a couple of significant headlines before we get into the conversation. Gresham, Oregon, residents found flyers on their cars when they came out in the morning of November 6th, outlining the great works of, wait for it, the Ku Klux Klan. Yes, that's right. Pretty close to home, Gresham, Oregon. It was, for those who received the flyers, it must have been a really chilling and doubtless a horrifying experience to find that. Weyerhaeuser Company is buying Plum Creek Timber and forming what's expected to be one of the world's largest timberland and forest products companies. That's very dangerous, and it plays straight into the hands of those who support the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Oregon wildlife officials have voted to remove the gray wolf from the state's endangered species list. This is really a tragedy, and only those who apparently feel that a sheep is more important than wolf might support this. A National Park Service decision has reignited centuries-old tensions over the ownership of irrigation canals that bring water to central Oregon. The NPS recently decided not to recognize the Central Oregon Irrigation District as the owner of Pilot Butte Canal. Again, more ramifications there that need to be looked at. And we do have a responsibility to our environment. Police say that these final two stories pay close attention. This is very interesting. Police say that a man attempting to steal $700 worth of groceries sprayed bug spray in the face of the grocery store employees who confronted him. This is a Jean Valjean. This is straight out of Les Miserables. And the Eugene police say that a woman pushing a shopping cart around midnight was hit by a train. She's probably going to survive, but a woman should not be out pushing a shopping cart at midnight. She should be under a roof of her own. And people should not have to spray bug spray in the face of a grocery store employees when they're trying to get some food. Those notes, and I now welcome Reverend Graylin Hagler to the KBOO Airwaves. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Well, you have been a staunch supporter of human rights, social justice everywhere for a great many years now, and I have not met you personally, but from reading and following the works that you've done, a natural leader, and have done a great deal in the community on behalf of people. So what we want to talk about, I understand that there was a demonstration yesterday against this rather shocking appearance of Benjamin Netanyahu. Showed up in D.C. once again asking for more money, for more guns, for more misery for the Palestinian people. The Palestinians are fighting literally with sticks and rocks or knives. There is no Palestinian military. There's an Israeli military, and it is consistently attacking the Palestinians. You support the boycott and divest movement, and you were at the demonstration. What happened at the demonstration yesterday?
Well, we've been demonstrating and picketing for 2 days now, continuing into today. Yesterday, the Netanyahu went and met at the White House with President Obama, and then last evening from the American Enterprise Institute, a right-wing organization, he received an award, a statesman award, their so-called highest award. And then today, he's going over and speaking at the Center for American Progress, which is supposed to be a liberal think tank kind of organization. And so there's going to be a picket there as well. So we've been carrying on this presence of basically being public about letting it be known that that we do not sanction Netanyahu, do not sanction his policies, do not sanction the U.S. government in terms of its continued expenditure of money to basically support the occupation machinery of the Israeli military, and that we also oppose the fact that Netanyahu is coming here to ask for more money and a 10-year commitment on that money, which would bring basically the United States investment in the military in Israel, in Israel's military, to about $50 billion over the next 10 years.
And it's difficult not to question how much good that could do in communities here at home. How do you account for the Center for American Progress's decision? And I believe that they awarded him an award as well. How do we account for this? I know that they are very closely tied to the Hillary Clinton's campaign. How do you account for him?
Well, I think that there's this great thing to sort of try to quote unquote appease Israel and appease the Zionist lobby over the fact that the nuclear deal went through with Iran, and therefore basically The Netanyahu government and the Zionists who support Israel have been continuing to scream that the United States have let Israel down, turned their back on Israel. And so Netanyahu is using this as an attempt to basically extort more money and more presence out of the U.S. administration, out of the U.S. government.
It's still, for decades now, the U.S. has been so closely involved with Israel, and they viewed Israel as their ally in the region. But Israel obviously is doing far more harm than good as far as relations with countries in that area. And if the Obama administration, any administration for that matter, made a move to protect the Palestinian people, to support the state, the inevitability of statehood for Palestine, it seems that this would go such a long way to healing wounds. It's very difficult to understand how we ended up in a situation where we're essentially being pretty much blackmailed by Israel, which is are we a client state of Israel, or is Israel a client state of the U.S.? It's difficult to see, and I suppose media has played a huge role in preventing Americans from seeing what's really going on. Eight Israelis died. And 80 Palestinians recently, 8 to 80.
Well, you got to remember, I mean, it's an old racist paradigm. It's a paradigm of white supremacy, where basically Palestinian lives do not matter, just like black lives do not matter. That is the reality from Ferguson to Gaza, from Baltimore to East Jerusalem. Palestinian lives don't matter. Black lives don't matter. And that's the way it continues to get played out, because one of the things that goes on is that we do not talk about the horrors of Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands. We do not talk about the dehumanization that takes place and goes on there, the kind of discrimination and abuse that takes place. And just like we struggled against the apartheid regime in South Africa and folks in the United States, they saw nothing wrong at first with the apartheid regime in South Africa. We had to struggle. We had to build momentum. We had to build public opinion. We had to turn it around so that people began to see what the horrors of that apartheid regime in South Africa looked like.
And for that matter, Israel was a staunch supporter and military advisor. They were solidly worked on behalf of maintaining the apartheid regime. Racism runs so deep, people don't even think it. It's impervious to thought. It seems, it's enraging, I have to say. Please continue.
All right. You're absolutely correct. I mean, Israel supported the apartheid regime in South Africa in terms of the suppression of black folks. Supported it, helped put in place the systems to try to control people, to dehumanize people. And so they've been using their own tactics at home to do the same thing to the Palestinians and also create an apartheid state there. But there is this relationship in terms of the racism that we experience here in the United States to what is going on in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem, the occupied areas of Palestine. I mean, it's down to the point that the same tear gas company out of Pennsylvania that manufactured the tear gas that was used in Ferguson is also the same company that supplies Israel with the tear gas that they use in the occupied territories. I mean, the collusion is so great. The conspiracy is so great, and it does the same thing. The United States has no problem because, for as far as they're concerned, Israel poses for them a beachhead in that part of the world. And just think of the language that they use. Netanyahu says, well, Israel exists in a bad neighborhood. And basically people go along using that same language. But just think about what a bad neighborhood is. bad neighborhood in the United States. In the United States, it tends to be a neighborhood of color, a neighborhood that's poor, a neighborhood that people basically do not want to go into and that people redline and keep the resources out of. That's what takes place. That's what it means to be in a bad neighborhood. So it's even a racist language that is being used when we talk about bad neighborhood that Israel exists in a bad neighborhood, meaning that it has countries around it like Syria and like Lebanon and different Egypt and different other countries. They're calling that a bad neighborhood.
It would seem that if one decides to park a nation in a region where there's very likely going to be conflict, it would be best to be a good neighbor. One doesn't always, you do have to get along with your neighbors no matter what. And Israel's done everything against that. I just want to invite you to do wrap up your words, your comments in the net, just in the last few seconds of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one of the things I urged people last night as I spoke, I said one of the things that we've got to get comfortable is just allowing people to be uncomfortable. That we should be talking about the issues around Palestine wherever we are, over a dinner table, at a dinner function, on a date. We need to let folks know because that's how we begin to change the situation. That's how we begin to put it out there, is to make it a part of our everyday conversation, not just when Netanyahu comes to town or it's in the news, but to lift it up, lift up the problem, lift up the kind of discrimination every single day.
Reverend Hagler, thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for the truthfulness, the clarity, and facing, and forcing people, or inviting people as well, to face the reality of the world that we live in today. Whether we have to do that first, we can't change it. Thanks again. I want to clarify, the Neoconservative American Enterprise Institute Award gave Netanyahu the award, just to clarify that. This has been Erkes Gidia for Tuesday.